Okay, Parz Vayetze, guys, Parachov Test Pasuk Yechas. We're going to deal with this Pasuk. It's bothered me for a long, long time. And finally, I decided, all right, I'm going to give a shir on this. I'm going to try to figure out as much as I can. It says, Vayav Yaakov is Rachel Vayomer. Yaakov loved Rachel, and he said, Evodcha Shavashana Barachel Bitcha Ktana. I'm going to work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your daughter, the young one. 7 years. And it says in Pasuk Chaf, I'm skipping you a test in the middle. It says Vayavod Yaakov Barachel Shavashanim. So he worked for her for 7 years. So because he loved her so much, it was as if it was just a few days that had passed. Just a few days had passed. That's what it felt like to him. Something's wrong here. Something's really, really wrong. Yaakov is 77 years old. He was 63 when he received the brachos. He went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ev for 14 years. He's 77 when he comes there, and he meets Lavan. And he offers to work for 7 years that he wouldn't be married until the age of 83? There's something just wrong with that. 83, 84. Something's wrong. Why in the world would you offer that? That doesn't make sense at all. And aside from that, we're Jews, right? This is the worst attempt at bargaining down Lavan you've ever heard in your life. You don't start at 7 years. You start off and say, well, I think I'm going to marry your daughter. I think she's worth a year and a half. And Lavan will say, oh, no, she's worth 7 years or bust. And you say, well, maybe I'll do two. Oh, no, you can't go more than six. Look, you bargain them down. You don't start with seven. Immediately, Lavan took one look at that and said, that's ridiculous. Of course I'll do it for 7 years. What was he thinking? So I have 12 answers that we're going to go through. I don't know if we'll be able to go through all 12, but it's a real dozen here. I do have a baker's dozen as well. I have a 13th, which is a possibility, but I'm not going to mention that one for sure. But here's the idea. Rashi says that Rivka Yemenu told her son in last week's parsha, at the end of last week's parsha, you should go to Lavan and live there for Yamim Achadim, for literally a few days, right? Yamim Achadim. Yaakov thought that these years were going to be the Yamim Achadim that Rivka said. And that's the reason why it says, Ki Yamim Achadim Ba'avaso Oso. In Pasachov, they were like the Yamim Achadim that Rivka Yemenu had offered. This seemed to him to be the Yamim Achadim. Now, the question is, how do you get Yamim Achadim, a few days, to equal 7 years? How in the world did Yaakov think that a few days was going to be this far off, that was going to be 7 years altogether? Rabbeinu Ephraim. Only the Rabbeinu Ephraim would do this, because only the Rabbeinu Ephraim knows a gematria like this. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Yamim Achadim is a gematria of 163. In Atbash, Yamim Achadim is Mem Yud, Tav Samach Kuf Mem Yud, 710. A total of 873, which is the same gematria as Yamim Sheva Shanim. Which Yamim means 7 years. That's a great gematria. And I give kudos to the Rabbeinu Ephraim for spending the time to go ahead and figure that one out. Because that was awesome to be able to go into Atbash and be able to figure that out. The reason she wanted him to stay there, she knew through Ruach HaKodesh she would be zocheh to have 12 children who would end up being the Shvatim. She knew that everything worked out well. They were born 7 months away from one another. Think about it. If you have 12 Shvatim born 7 months apart from one another... We'll do that math, guys. 12 times 7 months is the same as 7 years of 12 months each. Does that make sense? He'd have to stay there to have that. Now, it wouldn't be easy for the one wife who would have all those children, of 12 children within 7 months, but nonetheless, says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's what he assumed. He assumed, Rivka assumed it would take 7 years. But there's a problem with that, Rabbeinu Ephraim, because remember, he worked for the 7 years before he married Rachel. So if this assumption is being made by Yaakovinu, that he was going to marry Rachel immediately, and then it be there for 7 years, something's off, because he never did that. He offered to work for 7 years. That's not what Rivka wanted. Rivka wanted him to be there for 7 years, have all the children, and then come back, and he didn't do that. Then it's Siv. Sarah says this took work on Yaakov's part. He had to figure out the riddle of what Rivka Yemenu meant when she said Yamim Achadim. He realized there's no way his mother meant a few days. There's no way. Yamim Achadim, you should stay there for a few days? Lavan lived so far away. There's no way Lavan's going to give up his daughter, let him stay there for a couple days, and that's that. That doesn't make any sense at all. Instead, it must be years. It's got to be years. And that's how Yamim is translated sometimes in the Torah. You see the word Yamim means years in different parts of the Torah. That makes sense. But he figured something else as well. Achadim means individual years. Instead of a shvua or a cycle or a certain amount of years that were inside there, he figured, I'm not going to work for yamim and that's it. It'll be yamim achadim, a few years which is less than a Shemitah cycle. A Shemitah cycle is exactly 7 years. He figured he'd work for 7 years, but not exactly 7 years, me'ace la'ace, from that date to that day. He worked for 7 years, basically. A few means anything under a 7 year Shemitah cycle, and he worked for that amount, so he assumed that that's what Rivka Aminu meant. Again, according to the Nativ, even if that's true, why was Rivka Aminu suggesting 7 years? Even if this is the pshat, and we're trying to go with this, and this is our idea, why would Rivka Aminu suggest that? Something so strange. Taimi Dekra, Reb Chaim Knievsky gets involved over here, says Achadin can be counted as singular years. Until 7 years, you can count it as first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year. Once you get to 7 years, it's a new cycle. You count again. First year, second year, third year. So Yomim Achadim can only be under seven, and that's why it's referring to this amount of years in that way. It's possible that all these answers are correct. It's just weird because it's not explaining Rivka. What was she thinking? Yeah. Well, no, but the 7 years was the plan of how long you should be there in order to do this, and therefore he suggested 7 years of work. That was the idea. Why didn't he get the sign from Rav Aminu? Rivka sent to him to try to get him back? We'll talk about it. Eventually we'll get to that. Rav Yehuda Saad says in the Ma'ari, he suggests that the world was created, when the world was originally created, Shabbos had a complaint. He said every other day of the week has a pair. Sunday connects with Monday, Tuesday with Wednesday, Thursday with Friday. But me, I don't have anything. I don't have anything, so what am I supposed to do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Medrash says, don't worry, B'nai Yisrael will be your pair. It'll be your second. There'll be you and B'nai Yisrael, Shabbos and B'nai Yisrael, which is a great answer, right? Shabbos is connected. The same thing, says Rabbi Yehuda Saad, happens with Shemitah. Shemitah says, the first year connects with the second year, third and the fourth year, fifth and the sixth year, but the seventh year, me, I'm not connected to anyone. I don't have any connection. What am I going to be connected to? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, Shemitah. Shemitah, you will be connected with Klal Yisrael. Shemitah will be connected with Klal Yisrael itself. For that reason, says Rabbi Yehuda Saad, it's called Yomim Achadim. Yomim Achadim is, it's the year that is considered Echad, unique, separate from all the others. Every other one is a pair. First and second is a pair. Third and fourth, fifth and sixth. This is the Yom, the Shabbos, the year, so to speak, that is considered Achadim. And again, it was a hint. But we still don't have an answer for Rivka. All of this is a great answer as to why he went there, but it doesn't answer what was happening in Rivka's mind. Why was this a suggestion over there? The Moshe of Zakenim says it didn't go exactly in the way you thought it would. He told Lavan he wanted to marry his daughter because his father told him to, even though he didn't want to have Lavan as a father-in-law. So he went in already saying, Lavan, I don't want you. I need your daughter, because that's what my father said, that I'm supposed to be together with your daughter. I'm supposed to marry your daughter. But I don't want you as a father-in-law itself. So therefore, because of that, if you're willing to give me her, Rachel, for a small amount of money, I'll do it. Otherwise, Lavan could just name his price. And whatever Lavan named, Yaakov had to follow up, because simply put, he couldn't say no. He was required from Yaakov, you know, to marry this girl. He had no choice but to do so. So whatever Lavan would offer, he had to do. So really, in Pasuk Yud Ches, where it seems like Yaakov offered 7 years, according to the Moshe Zakenim, Lavan said 7 years, and Yaakov just said, okay, I guess I'll do that. He had no choice in the matter because he had to do whatever he had to do. He might have even bargained him down. Maybe Lavan said 10, and Yaakov said, no, I'm only doing 7. Maybe that is what happened. Maybe that is the idea behind it. I don't know. But that's what it seems to have been. Mazi? I don't know if he said it directly. He sort of went up to him and said, I want to marry your daughter. What is the offer? What do you want me to give as a dowry? And Lavan said, 10 years of work. To which he said, no, I don't want it. So it could have been there was a bargaining down. It could have been the Yaakov actually brought it down to 7 years. The second answer that we have is the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is probably the most pshatan answer, even though it's the least satisfying. You'll hear what I'm saying in a second. Rachel Imenu at the time when Yaakov originally met her was 5 years old. In order to marry her, he wanted to wait until she was of marriageable age. And back then, the marriageable age was 12. Even though that seems extremely strange to us now, especially for an 84-year-old to marry a 12-year-old, that was the marriageable age of when they got married. So therefore, because she was 5 at the time, and he wanted to wait until she was 12, he simply put, he said, I'll work for the next 7 years until she's ready to be married. Now, it's by far, it's the easiest pshat answer. You don't have to go into anything crazy, even though, as I said, it's the least satisfying because to us, that seems really strange that he married a girl who could be his great-granddaughter, easily be his great-granddaughter, yeah. If Ripka Imenu was three, right, there's a famous Rip Schwab on that, and whether the Medrash means to say the Ripka Imenu was Mamish three, that we've talked about in years past. There's obviously, it's a possibility that Rivka was three and that Yitzchak Avinu married her and then waited 20 years in order to whatever. But at the end of the day, it seems strange. It seems more likely she was older, and Rav Schwab gives an answer as to how the Medrash works out with the Pshat that Rashi says that she was 3 years old. Yeah, Paul.
Why are we saying 12, not 9?
That's Roy. Technically, that's for a boy. Technically, by a girl, it's three. Technically, by a girl. However, we pass by 12, that's when she's Roy Laholid, when she can give birth. And therefore, without any danger involved, that's what the Gemara Yavama says. There's no Mishamshos Bamoch, so to speak. There's no ability, whatever. So regardless, 12 years old is the time that she's Roy Laholid. That's what he wanted to wait for, and that's that. So that's it. Maybe that's why he indicated Rachel Bitzcha HaKetana. He said the young one. Now, Rashi says it's because he was trying to make sure. Rachel, not Leah. Bitzcha, not a Rachel from the Shuk. HaKetana, the younger one, don't switch names. And we know that. That's what Rashi says. But according to this Rabbeinu Bachaya, it makes more sense. He said Rachel Bitzcha HaKetana, the young one. The reason why I'm working for you for 7 years is because she's too young. I can't marry her yet. I have to wait until she's at least 12 years old. So therefore, he's waiting up until that point, and that's the idea behind it. Fine, that's that. Yaakov understood that the purpose of marriage, at least for him, was to be able to have children. She wasn't going to be able to have children until that time. That's that. And this isn't really the Rabbeinu Bachaya's answer. As much as I'm saying it's the Rabbeinu Bachaya's Chiddush, it's not. It's the Zohar that brings it. So the Zohar brings down this answer as well. The Rabbeinu Bachaya doesn't quote the Zohar. He may have been Mechadish this without seeing the Zohar. That's a possibility. But regardless, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says that that's the idea behind it. The Shach says it's straight out of Pasuk in Hosea. Everybody knows the Pasuk in Hosea, right? We all knew that Pasuk in Hosea. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk in Gimel says, Vayavod Yisrael Be'isha. Yisrael worked for a woman. U'Be'isha Shamar. And for a woman, he waited. He waited for her to grow older in order to marry her. He had to wait for her to become 12 years old in order to marry her. That was the idea behind it. It's a brilliant answer. It's a brilliant answer. The Chassam Sofer says, although to us, right, I guess it makes sense, again, that 12 years old is the normal age when women can give birth. It's strange back then, because in Sanhedrin Samach Tes, it says that in the previous generations, women were able to give birth at the age of 6. In other words, again, for us, it's even strange for a 12-year-old to get married, and I get that, right? But at least 12 years old makes sense to us, because that's when the royal holid. But the Gemara goes through a whole thing where even 6-year-old girls were able to give birth back then. And that was a possibility. If that was a possibility, then why would he wait? Why would Yaakov wait until she was 12? If 6 was a possibility back in the day, why would that happen? He answers based on a Gemara in Ksuvis. He says based on the Gemara in Ksuvis, Yud Aleph, that says, if a ger katan, this is an amazing Chassam Sofer, if a ger katan, a young boy who becomes a ger, goes to the mikvah, al das beis din, meaning he's 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, and he goes to the mikvah along with beis din, right? Rav Yosef says that when he goes then when he gets older, this child that was Megayer through Beis Din, he has the ability to be Mocha. He can make a Macha, he can protest. When he turns 13, he can then decide, do I want to keep the Gerus that I had? Or say, no, I don't want it, and decide that he can become a non-Jew again. Retroactively, the Mikvah didn't mean anything at all. So that's a ger katan. A gioris can do the same thing. She can go to the mikvah when she was younger, and then when she turns 12, she has the ability to be mocha. She can complain, she can protest, and immediately she doesn't. And that's the pshat. It could be that that's why Yaakov Avinu waited until she was 12, says the Chassam Sofer. Even though she was Roi Laholid, she could give birth before 12 at the age of 6, but he held that she had to become a gioris. In order to become a gioris, you had to make sure she wasn't going to make a macha. When would she make the macha? When she turns 12. So he waited for her to turn 12. When she didn't make a macha, when Rachel Aminu did not make a macha, that's when he would marry her. That's what he decided to do, and that's why he waited until 12. So that's a great combination of answers, meaning in theory he could have married her beforehand. He didn't have to offer 7 years, but he did so in order to wait to make sure that she was going to remain fully Jewish. Wait, no, you had a question? If she's retroactively not, yeah. I don't think it works that way, because at the time she thought she was Jewish. So even though she kept Shabbos, and normally a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos is Chayiv Misa, first of all, the Chayiv Misa is not down here, it's in Shemayim, so like Shemayim's judging it. But I think because your mindset was that you're a Jew at the time, I don't think that would... Like if a person kept Shabbos right now and then found out they were a non-Jew, right? They're not Chayiv Misa for the fact that they kept Shabbos when they thought they were a Jew, even though retroactively you weren't Jewish the entire time. So it'd be the way. Paul, yeah?
So did she have children once she turned 12, when she has to make them up, or can she wait till the entire year of being 12...
The truth is, when she turns 12, immediately, that birthday, that's when she has to do it. That's how we pass the halacha when it comes to any of these things. So it has to be right then, right, when she turns that 12. And I think it's like toward the beginning of the day. Tam Vidas, this is where Sternbach and the Be'er Mayim Chaim bring the Zohar that says he purposely asked for 7 years for the following. Rachel Aminu was a beautiful girl. Leah was not as beautiful. She had Eni Leah Rakos. Rachel Aminu was a beautiful girl. He had a feeling that people thought he was going into this marriage only for the beauty. And in order to show them, I'm not doing this for the physical reasons. I'm doing this for the spiritual reasons because I know this is my wife. I am willing to wait 7 years in order to marry her. Now, that's not normal. If it was a physical desire, you wouldn't wait 7 years, 7 years for that. That's ridiculous. Who would do that? He showed everyone this is not a physical thing. And when they said, sure it isn't. You chose the most beautiful girl in the land and it's not a physical thing. Sure it isn't. He said, no, this has nothing to do with beauty. I'm marrying this girl for the right reasons and I'll show you. He waited 7 years and that showed that he was doing it for the right reasons. That was the idea behind it. That's how Tam Vidas ends up saying it. The Chizkuni says, he knew how beautiful Rachel Levin was. He knew that Lavan would receive in return for her a ton more money. We see this. We see this in other areas. Shabbos Peyam Adbeiz, Rav Bibi, used to put certain types of plaster on his daughter, on the hair of his daughter, so that his daughter didn't have any hair and she was made more beautiful because of it. It's a Gemara. He received double the amount that you normally would as a dowry because of how beautiful she was. So he knew Rachel Imenu was going to get Lavan a huge dowry. And Lavan was waiting for that. Lavan was waiting for the huge amount of money he was going to get for Rachel. So for Yaakov Avinu to come along and say, I want to marry your daughter, he knew he had to up the price to a point where Lavan couldn't say no. If you would have said, I'll marry your daughter, and I'll work for you for 1 year, Lavan will say, no, I'll make more money if I just give her to anybody else. So he said, all right, 2 years. He didn't want to bargain, because if he bargained, what could happen? What Lavan might do is he might get angry and say, forget it, I'm out. I don't want to do this, and then give her to the next best offer. So he offered something that no one else could do, 7 years of work. Says the Chizkuni, he offered that because he knew it would be the highest amount that Lavan would get for her. It was a huge amount of money. He was going to be offered more from other people, but 7 years' work is something that Lavan couldn't turn down. So he didn't. He didn't turn it down, and he actually did it. That's the idea behind it. The Malbim says there was a cheshbon here. There was a cheshbon that he made. Rachel is a beautiful girl, so he offered Lavan 3 years. 3 years of work for her. That's it. He only offered 3 years. But then he said, I want to make sure that I'm not going to be forced to marry the other daughter as well. I want to be sure that I'm not going to marry Leah. I'll give you another 2 years of work in order for you not to give me Leah, so I don't have to marry Leah. So that was 5 years. And then he said, I also want to make sure, what's the other one over here? He said, I want to make sure that, what was the other one? Because I know that people want to marry the older daughter before the younger daughter. For you to give up the right to marry the older daughter before the younger daughter, I'll give you another 2 years. So he said, 3 years for Rachel, 2 years not to marry Leah, 2 years to marry the younger daughter before the older daughter. That's the 7 years. So it was like offers, one on top of the other. Lavan agreed to everything. But you know what he didn't agree to? The conditions. He said, fine, I'll give her to you. He never said, I won't give you Leah. He never said, I won't marry the older daughter before the younger daughter. He never said that. So he ended up giving to her. Yaakov worked for all 7 years. And then afterward, he gave her Leah, right? Gave Yaakov Leah. Yaakov looked at Lavan and said, we had a deal. Lavan said, oh, did you not hear me? Oh, I'm so sorry. I signed the contract, but only part of it. I didn't sign the other part. Oh, I'm so, you didn't hear that? No, there's no way. No, you came late. You can't ask a question for at least 20 minutes. I'll get to you in 20 minutes. So here we go. That's the Sforno. That's how the Malbim says it over here. There's a Sforno over here as well. Sforno suggests the reason he asked for 7 years is because a tzaddik would never want to marry a woman before having the amount of parnasa necessary to take care of her. Is that awesome? How could a tzaddik on the stature of Yaakov Avinu possibly get married without parnasa in the bag? Without having a set parnasa that he knows he would be able to do it. Right? We all hold that way, right? Everybody, nobody gets married until they have a full parnasa ready to go. It's amazing, right? What's the connection with seven? This Sforno says he needed to work for 7 years in order to build up equity, in which he worked for Lavan, and was building up some money on the side. I don't know what he did. I don't know, on the side, he was like, I don't know, in the stock market or whatever it was, but he waited 7 years to build up enough money so he'd have his own parnassa while working on the side. Now, that's weird, because at the end of 14 years, he turns to the Lavan and says, I need to make money for myself. It sounds like up until that point, he literally had nothing. And Yaakovin was the quintessential kolo guy. He's been in kolo for the last 77 years. Can you imagine that? Without being married. 77 years in kolo, right? He had the 63 years. By Yaakovin, 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. And then he comes in with absolutely nothing, right? And he goes up to Lavan and he offers it. So it's a weird sforno. He didn't want to do anything until he had money. But he didn't have money even after 7 years. He didn't have money after 14 years. He had to work for another 6 years. And granted, he became really wealthy after 6 years, because that's the way, right? But if we started working at the age of 94, I'm sure it would work out the same way. We would be fine, right? The age of 94, that's like, can you imagine? Like, yeah, I'll go into business at 93. The age of 93, 1 year before Yaakovin. That's the idea behind it. But says the Sforno, that's what he did. And therefore, he said, I'm willing to work for 7 years to build up my dowry to be able to have something, and then I'll be able to marry Rachel. But he wouldn't do it otherwise. He refused to do it otherwise. That's an awesome answer. It's just something that we don't see nowadays very often by everybody. I should say by everybody. This is the fifth answer. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, I don't know how this makes any sense, but he goes through it, and I'm sure there's something behind it, and I'd love to know it. He says every tzaddik goes to the number 7. He always does it. When he bowed down to Esav, he bowed down 7 times. When he went to Yeshiva Sheva Aver, he went there for 7 years and 7 years. He worked for Rachel for 7 years and then 7 years for Leah, and he would have worked for another 7 years, but Hashem told him to leave after 6. He was dealing with 7s. He always dealt with 7s. And maybe it's because Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. Maybe because 7 times the Tzadik falls and then he'll be successful. So maybe he always did 7 for that reason. But because of that, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, 7 is the number for success. I think what that means is that if a person wants something to succeed, he should use the number 7 in some way, shape, or form. It should be about the number 7. I don't know exactly how that works. And I don't really know exactly what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh means. But he says that's the idea behind it. The Be'er HaMayim Chaim calls this as well. He calls it the Mida Haklula B'Shiva, the Mida known as 7. But I don't understand fully what that means exactly or how it works. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh suggests another answer about Eved Ivri. I'm not going to go into that right now because that's too difficult of an answer. He just says, an Eved Ivri works for 6 years, so Yaakovin wanted to be more than an Eved Ivri, so he worked for 7 years altogether. I'm sorry? That's the reason why the number 7 is so important. Because everybody in those days knew that my separation was 7. They believed that God created the world in 7 days. So 7 is the most important day. I mean, it is amazing, right? That the entire world believes that there are 7 days of the week. Now, granted, 4 billion people in the world hold that the Bible is real or whatever it is. Because if you have Christianity and Islam plus us, and they all believe the Bible is something. So everybody believes the world is created in 7 days. You have about 4 billion people, maybe 4.5 billion people. But the whole world believes that the week is 7 days. That deals, that's only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's only because of the way. So I think that has something to do with over there. There is an Olari over here, and Rabbeinu Ephraim. They're both amazing. They're both dealing with that same Or HaChaim HaKadosh. They go into it. Pardes Yosef says, from a Sefer Tzinsenes Menachem, there's a Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Aleph, that says that a dog, when it's out of town, when it's not in its normal place, lo minbach, for 7 years. It doesn't bark for 7 years. If a dog finds itself lost, it'll take 7 years for it to bark. I know, in reality, dogs don't live past 7 years. Maybe it means 7 years in doggy years. I have no idea. I don't know what the Gemara means by it, but it means that at least the concept of what we're talking about over here is that it takes 7 years for a dog to get used to its surroundings and feel like it's comfortable, that it can actually do something. It takes 7 years to get yourself up and to move yourself up and to be able to actually do it. Yaakov was planning on living in Lavan's house. And he knew if he was living in Lavan's house and Lavan would be there, right, he wouldn't be the master of his own household. It would take him 7 years to build himself up and be able to bark, so to speak, and be the master of his own household and not be meshubid to Lavan and listen to everything that Lavan says. 7 years it takes for a person to do that. So therefore, Yaakovinu said to Lavan, I'm going to work for you for 7 years. I don't want to start my marriage off with you being the master of my household. I don't want to start my marriage off and you're the guy that's going to be in charge and I have to listen to everything you say and I'm going to feel like I can't bark. I'm going to wait 7 years until I'm ready, then I'm going to get married. And so we purposely waited 7 years. I like that answer a lot. Now, granted, again, when you're 84, you might not want to wait those 7 years. That might be a lot, right? 77 to 84 is a lot. But nonetheless, he understood, this is what I need in order to make the Shvatim. I need to be the leader of the household and not Lavan. So he waited in order to make sure that it was going to be completely correct. There's a Malia Omer here that I found that's absolutely crazy. I've never heard this before, and I'd love to see if anyone's heard anything like this before. There was a whole plan going on behind the scenes between Rivka and Yitzchak. Now, here's my assumption. My assumption was that Rivka and Yitzchak knew that Lavan had kids, but they had no idea what the kids were like. That's my assumption, right? They had no idea if Lavan's kids were good or bad. They knew there was somebody there. I don't know if they knew about Rachel and Leah. It seems from the Medrash that Leah and Rachel knew about Esav and Yaakov, and that's why Leah was crying, knowing that she was supposed to marry Esav, and Rachel was going to marry Yaakov, right? According to this Malia Omer, Yitzchak and Rivka were well aware that there was a beautiful daughter named Rachel, and there was a not-so-beautiful daughter named Leah. Leah was the older one, and Rachel was the younger one. And they knew that. And they came up with a real plan. Said, Yaakov, I want you to go to Lavan for Yamim Achadim. Now, we said before, what's Yamim Achadim? A few years, right? Says in Itziv, there's no way it's a few days. How is he going to... He's going to go to Lavan, be like, hey, Lavan, can I have your daughter? Yeah, great. And then grab or go back? You're going to be there for a few days? How would that be? It must be a few years. No, says the Malei Omer. He was supposed to be there for a few days. Here's the pshat. Yaakov took the Bechora of Esav. That means that Yaakov is essentially the oldest one, the Bechor. Yaakov took the Brachos, because he's the Bechor. He deserves those Brachos, right? If he wants to be consistent, if Yaakov wants to be consistent, who should he marry? Leah. The older daughter. That's what he should do. Now that had something over there. Leah was crying this whole time because she thought she was meant for Esav. But really, she's meant for Yaakov. I don't think she even knew that. Yaakov had stolen the Bechorah. Yaakov had stolen the Brachos, right? He was the Bechorah. He was the firstborn. You should go to him for Yamim Achadim. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go up to Lavan and you're going to say, Lavan, I'd like to marry your oldest daughter. Lavan doesn't care about Leah. He knows he's not going to get much money for her because she's not as beautiful. So Lavan will give you Leah in a heartbeat. Lavan will give you Leah in a heartbeat. That's not a problem whatsoever. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to take Leah and you're going to come back. Now, Yaakov wouldn't be blinded by beauty, right? He wouldn't be worried about that. He'd want to marry a woman who's a good woman. Leah's a good woman. You won't have to worry about that. Leah has Shvatim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda come from Leah. Yisachar, Zvulun comes from Leah. Said Rivka, you're going to have an awesome wife and you're going to have awesome Shvatim by marrying Leah. So she went to Yaakov and said, you're going to go to Lavan, you're going to ask for Leah. Then a few days later, after you marry her, you're going to bring her back. And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to go to Esav and say, I'm making a peace offering with you. I took Leah. I left Rachel, the beautiful one, for you. And Esav will go and marry Rachel. That is the peace offering that Rivka offered Yaakov for Yaakov to give to Esav. It's a crazy answer. Said Rivka, don't marry Rachel. Don't marry Rachel. Marry Leah instead. You'll have everything will be good. And then Rachel will marry Esav, the beautiful one. And then Esav will pay all the money to Lavan in the world. So Esav will make his, Lavan will make his money off of Rachel. And everything will be good. Shalom on Yisrael and Esav. Everything will be good. Shalom on everybody. Isn't that a great plan? See, Yaakov messed it up. Because Yaakov took one look at Rachel, and it wasn't the beauty that got him. It was the fact that she saw how awesome Rachel is and that she was his basheretz. And once he saw it, he said, I can't give up Rachel now. I know I'm supposed to marry Leah. I know I'm only supposed to stay here for Yamim Achadim. But I can't. I need to marry Rachel. So he had a different plan. His different plan was, I'll marry Rachel now. I'll stay here for longer. Yamim Achadim, I'll extend it into 7 years altogether. And that way, what'll happen? By 7 years, maybe by that time, Esav will have calmed down. So instead of expecting giving Rachel as my calming down thing, I'll do this in order to calm down, in order to calm down Esav. And then everything will be okay. Because what'll happen? I'll marry Rachel. He'll totally forget about everything. I'll come back and everything will be fine. Everything will be perfectly fine. That was the plan of what he wanted to do. He knew that it would look like a hypocrite. You're the Bechor, you got the Brachos, you're supposed to marry the older one, but now you're marrying the younger one who's more beautiful? So he figured, what's the best way to get somebody to get over something? Time. So he waited 7 years, 14 years, 22 years. 22 years. He was willing to wait. all that time to calm down Esav. Now tell me, did it happen at the end of the day?
Nope.
No, of course not. It didn't happen. Because not only did he marry Rachel, he ended up marrying Leah as well. So he left nothing for Esav. And Esav knew that, and Esav harbored that ill will in his heart, even as time went on. So it didn't happen. Matthew, you were going to ask?
Could it be that if Yaakov had gone and asked for Leah, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if he marries Leah, then he asks for Rachel, then Laban's going to say, no, she's more valuable to me.
Okay.
I make more money, you know, and all that. But by Yaakov going for Rachel first, knowing Laban's going to, pull his shtick, go for Leah first, now he gets both.
He was going to get both. The truth is, Yaakov was going to marry both anyway. That was really going to happen. His original plan when he first saw Rachel is, I'll marry Rachel. But he saw what? What did he see in his Nevuah when he first saw Rachel? What did he see? He cried, right? What did he cry about? He cried that she wasn't going to be buried with him. So he knew she was going to die early. So he figured, I'll marry Rachel now. And when Rachel dies, I'll go marry Leah. He was always going to marry Rachel in life. That was always going to happen. It was just a question of when. Right, did he have to marry them together? See, Levin messed that up, right? It could be that that's the plan also. I don't know, but this is the idea behind it. Okay, so now let's go in the other way. The end, Pasuk Chaf, also doesn't make any sense. He says at the very end, it says, Vayu be'enav ki yom imachan b'avasosa. He loved her so much, it felt like just a few days had passed. Tell me, guys, when you really want something, does it feel like a few days? Like when a year is, it's like a year from now. You think that's going to be so easy to wait for? Of course not. You want it to be done like that. Whenever you really want something, just look at the clock. The clock goes even slower and sometimes backward when you really want something. You know that recess is coming, for example. You know that lunch is coming. You know that something's happening. The clock is going even slower. Everybody knows that. So what in the world? He's looking at it and it's like, it's 7 years. Oh, wow, that was like a day. That doesn't happen. That's not normal. When you love someone and you want to marry them right now, 7 years are going to go by at a snail's pace, not so quickly. What in the world does that mean? It was like yamim achadim to him. So the Chizkuni answers, it felt slow all working. But everybody knows right now, think of the past years, past 10 years. Do they feel like they passed by really quickly? Not you, but in everybody else's life. The past 10 years, have they passed really, really quickly? Answer is yeah. The past 10 years have flown. Absolutely fly. When you finish up with something and then you look back at it, you look at it, you're like, oh wow, that flew by. But while you're in the midst of it, it feels really long. When Yaakov finished, it seemed like it was just a few days. Every day was agony. Every day he was in tsar. Every day he's like, oh my gosh, why can't this be over already? But when the 7 years were up, he looked back and he's like, it's over. It's done. It felt like nothing. Now it feels like absolutely nothing. And that's just human existence. That's the way we are. We feel that way after everything is all done. That's it. The Razin Meir says it. He says it's even shot in the pasuk he goes through. The Alshach says a similar idea. He was worried that he wasn't doing what his mother told him to do. His mother told him to stay for Yom HaKadim. He had absolutely no idea. How in the world was he going to accomplish Yom HaKadim? So what he said was like this. He decided at the end, he would look back at everything and say, oh, that was Yom HaKadim. So when his mother came to him later on and said, I thought I told you to stay there for a couple days. You stayed there for like 100 years. Why were you there for so long? Yaakov would look back and say, oh, to me, it felt like Yom HaKadim. And that was true. It felt like Yom HaKadim. He could translate the words of his mother, which were vague, into Yom HaKadim, and that's what it's supposed to be. The Apta Rav says, and I really don't understand this at all, but somebody can tell me this. When it comes to Gashmias, and you really want something, then a long time feels like it takes even longer. But the Apta Rav said, when it comes to Ruchnias, it feels like everything's flying. It feels like everything flew through. I don't know if that's true. I don't even know how that works exactly. But when it comes to Ruchnias, things just fly. I guess I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's only when I've gotten older, I kind of feel like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening fly by for me. And I know that people don't feel that way. I kind of feel that way. Like all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, Shacharis is over. Like I didn't get what I wanted to get done in the small amount of time that I had for Shacharis and on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And I know Shacharis can take 3 hours on Yom Kippur. It can take a couple hours on Rosh Hashanah. And I get that. I don't feel that way. I feel like when it comes to that, all of a sudden it's over and I'm just like, oh my gosh, did I just finish my Shemona Esrei and I didn't daven for everyone I was supposed to daven for? How did I just do that? I took my 3 steps back. I'm ready to take my 3 steps forward in order to say Kedusha, but I didn't do what I needed to do. I think that's sort of what it means over here. When it comes to Ruchnias, it goes by really, really quickly. There's Rabbeinu Bachai over here. There's a Moshe of Zakenim as well. The Be'er Mayim Chaim seems to say the following. I guess this makes a lot of sense. If you keep doing something over and over and over again, let's say you're working a job and it's the same job every single day. It's the same thing. So the first couple days, you might be really excited to do it. You're really into it. But when you do it 5 days in a row, 6 days in a row, 7 days in a row, 8 days in a row, the Shabbos, so like sort of in a row, you know? So you do like 6 days in a row, and then an eighth day, a ninth day, and whatever it is. So your workmanship becomes a little more shoddy. You know, you're like, you don't work as hard. Because it's like you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. So like, as time goes on, a year passes, 2 years pass, you're not the same worker that you were back in the day. When you first started, you were like into it, and you really wanted to do it. But like 2 years later, it's sort of like, yeah, I got to do it because I got to do it. But I'm not really into it as much. I didn't really do the way that I wanted to do it. Like, that's the idea behind it. Says the Be'er Malchayim, that was the difference between Yaakov Avinu. He worked like it was his first day. Every day of the 7 years, he worked like it was his first day, and he had to. You know why he had to? Because Lavan was looking for any excuse to be Mevatel the Shtar. Can you imagine? 6 years, 364 days passed. 6 years, 364 days. And on the 365th day, Yaakov Avinu caught pneumonia and was sick in bed. Lavan goes up and says, you didn't work for 7 years. Tears up the Shtar. And it was done. Now he doesn't get Rachel. Any excuse in the book that Lavan could make up, he was looking to do. So he knew, Yaakov Avinu knew, if he lies low, just for one day, in the middle of these 7 years, if he takes one day easy, one day he takes sick, he takes leave, and he says, I'm not going to work that one day, he knows what Lavan's going to do. Lavan's going to cancel the entire shtar. Cancel everything. Has anybody ever thought of that, by the way? Can you imagine? You promised a Ramai, a guy who's a known liar, a guy who's well known for tricking people, you promised him 7 years of work. That is a crazy shtar. What if you get sick? What if something happens? What if something happens toward the end of it? What are you going to do? So he treated every day as if it was literally his first day. He did every single day thinking, this might be my last day on earth. He treated it like it was awesome. And therefore, there was nothing Lavan could complain about. At the end of 7 years, Lavan looked back and said, you know what? That was truly amazing. You really, really worked hard. You really did everything you were supposed to do. And not only that, but when he was tricked into marrying Leah, and then he waited a week, and he married Rachel. He's already married to Rachel. So you think now he can just chill out during those 7 years after that, right? He already got Rachel. Lavan can't take Rachel away. He's going to work 7 years. It doesn't matter what he does. Everything's going to work out well. No. Every single day of the second 7 years was done the same way. I worked day and night, he said. I worked in the cold. I worked in the heat. He did everything he was supposed to do. That was the idea behind it over here. The last thing that we're going to mention over here is the Chidah, the Ksava Kabbalah over here, that I should say, which is really shot in the Pasuk. This was the hardest thing in the world. He wanted the days to go by quickly, but instead, every day felt like an absolute year. And that's why it says Yomim Achadim. It felt like individual days were passing. Yomim Achadim. Everybody translates the line of Yomim Achadim as if it felt like a few days. No. Every day felt like one individual day. And it felt so long. It was really bad. I'm sorry? Every day felt like one individual day. A Yom Echad. And then a Yom Echad. It didn't feel like days were going on in like an order, one after the other, after the other. No, it felt like there was a day, and then there was a day, and then there was a day. And he couldn't deal with it. It was 365 full days, and he couldn't handle it. And either way, says the Chasam Sofer, whether it was a million years, it felt like a million years, or it felt like it went by quickly, Yaakov understood that he had to wait for Rachel, and that was the plan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was willing to do so. And here's the lesson behind all of it. He wasn't Dochek as his man. Most people look at these things and they say, you know what? Anything I can do to hurry it along and to make it go faster, I'm going to go ahead and do. If I can make somebody, I can force someone to give me something so that I don't have to wait for it, I'm going to do that because I don't want to wait. I just don't want to wait. I want to get it right now. Yaakov Avinu didn't do that, even though he could have done it. He could have been marchik as man, push it ahead and just go ahead and do it. He wouldn't do so. That's not what Yaakov Avinu does. Yaakov Avinu doesn't get involved in stuff like that. That's the idea behind it. Just to bring up something amazing, the Chidah says the reason why Yaakov loved Rachel Imenu. Maybe you've seen this before. Have you ever seen somebody go up to a Makubal, give him two names of a chassan and a kala, and the Makubal comes back and says, it's good. It's going to be a good shidduch. So there's ideas behind it. The Chidah says that the reason why he wanted this shidduch so badly is because he realized that both his and Rachel's name were divisible by the number 7. Yaakov is 182. That's 7 times 26. Rachel is 238. 34 times 7. both were divisible by 7. When he realized that, he knew everything would be okay, and that's why he specifically asked for 7 years. Remember we mentioned that Orach Chaim HaKadosh before, that there's multiples of 7? So maybe, again, this is one of the things that these Mikubalim do, whether they're real or not, I have absolutely no idea. But they count 7s. They look at their 7s. Is there a way through the gematria of both names together to get to 7s to go through? Now, I don't want that to be a Sheva Brachos speech because I'm not into gematrias by Sheva Brachos, right? And that's number one. And I'm not into, although they're cute, right? And I'm not into like going ahead and like trying to say like, oh, see? And like you can go to a wedding once and it's like, I tried everything and it's not 7, so this wedding is for sure not going to work out, right? That's the last thing you want to do. Like you don't want to do stuff like that, right? But regardless, the idea of that 7, of how it goes through, that is an amazing thing. What's crazy about that? Leah is a gematria of 36. Is off by 1. I mean, what's even more amazing about that? The children of Leah were Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Those are amazing kids. I don't mean as in 6s and not 7. I mean, she had Yisachar, Zvulun. She had Yehuda. She has Mashiach. She has the Melech. She has Levi, the Kohanim, and the Kohanim Gedolim, the Leviim. Right? Granted, Reuven, okay, maybe lost the Bechor, but her kids are amazing, even though she was only a 6. Do you get what I'm saying? So although we look at this and we're like, oh, it's not divisible by 7, that doesn't mean the Shidduch is not supposed to work out. That's not the only thing you wait for. Okay? So that's okay. So if you get up and you're like, it's off, I guess you could say it's off by 1, and off by 1 by Gematria still works. Right? But the concept, the idea is not to go crazy when it comes to this stuff. It's to understand that these are nice. That's not the Ikkar. The Ikkar is working out and making sure that everything works in the best possible way for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great show.